Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show coming up here at 6 o'clock. Players Lounge at 7 with special guest Cooper DeGene.
Coop.
During the Brandon Graham Show, we are going to try to press Brandon into saying that he will play in the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah. He wants to play.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, just Elliot and I will certainly try to get as much information as we can.
It would be on top of what has already been a really cool year.
Oh my God,
BG getting back for the Super Bowl.
Oh, it would be incredible.
And by the way, they're not losing if he gets back for the Super Bowl.
Couple things.
Yes, sir.
Medically cleared. Because if he goes out there and something happens,
right? Yes, he's got to be medically cleared.
Yes.
Yep.
Can he sign a waiver like T.O. did?
Probably could.
Yep.
I bet he'd do it.
I just wonder, would it be a ceremonial thing where they just put him out there a couple – because I don't know how old he is. I don't know. Only he knows.
Yep.
You put him out there. You don't want to put him out there and he can't tackle or he can't perform.
They got to win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, we're trying to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I think even him – dressing, to be honest with you, and
that's a sign that if they let him dress. Yeah.
I was stunned that they kept Juergens active yesterday and didn't start him.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, what is he active for if he's not starting? If he can't play, he can't play. Then there we are in the second half with Cam Juergens in the game.
Yeah, the moments before the inactives get posted. Jeff McClain tweets out.
That he's out. Yes. And then I saw Rap Sheet tweet that he was active.
Yes.
I was like, what is going on?
So, yeah, we were confused, and we were debating this in the pregame show. And I'm like, well, he's obviously going to start, else why would you make him active?
Right.
And if he's the starter, why wouldn't he start if he's active?
Right.
And then when he didn't, I mean, Elliot had told us that he was hearing that Jalen was warming up with Landon as the center. I'm like, so we're wasting a spot.
And as it turned out,
they needed him.
It was the right move.
Yeah.
We always do the hypothetical, like, just have him there break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah.
And that's what he was.
And it actually.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It was actually an emergency.
Because they didn't want to have the rookie out there playing. I guess his name is Nick Gates.
Yes.
I think he's a rookie.
Especially next to Steen.
Yeah,
you know, then all of a sudden that entire section of the line, the middle part of the line, is two guys that are not normally in that spot.
Right. So, I meant, you're right. If Dickerson goes out.
If Dickerson goes out.
Yeah. Then, yep.
Here, by the way, here was Cam Juergens on the entire situation after the game. Got a little choked up.
What does this feel like for you?
I'm just so proud of this team. Just want to say thanks to the trainers, Joe, Tom. It was a long week.
Yeah, I feel your emotions, Cam. What happened this week? We were all shocked by the back injury. When did it pop up for you? How did you work through it?
You know, it's just, you know, it's football. It's violence. So just fighting. And this team's got so much fight. I love it. We're going to win this next one.
Yeah. You are headed to the Super Bowl, but what happened at halftime for you to step in and do what you did after Landon went down? What was said?
I was trying to get ready to go for the game. I knew it wasn't best for the team, and I just knew I was going to have to be ready in case anything happened. And that was my role today, and Landon went down. We ain't here without Landon.
When did you know you weren't starting? Did they tell you after your pregame warm-up? I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, it was at the start.
Yeah.
Trying to see how it feels.
And how do you feel now, Cam?
I feel like I'm going to the Super Bowl.
That's perfectly said. Great job, bud.
Thank you.
She tried.
Yep.
Several times.
Yep, and he wouldn't. It just sounds like the back must have been pretty tough this week for him not to start the game.
Sure.
You know, it must have been pretty, for him not to get in there, must have been pretty tough.
Yes.
You know? So a rumor came, this was last night, Bill Simmons tweets, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie is in the running to buy the Boston Celtics. He's a Boston native with degrees from Clark, Brandeis, and BU. His first big company was called Chestnut Hill Productions. Huge Celts fan, obviously. So this is, from what I understand, not to, this is true, that bidding, in my understanding, started last week on the Celtics. Their valuation is somewhere between $6 and $7 billion, but there will be multiple bidders and probably will end at around $10 billion. That would be the guess. Now, remember, it's only the one owner selling, the majority owner, Wick Grosbeck. So the thought would be you wouldn't need the entire $10 billion because the other owners will stay on and would have to pay in to the rest of that. But this is definitely a real thing. And I think the interesting thing with how we look at Josh Harris and then how other owners look at Josh Harris, because we look at Josh Harris being like, how could you own teams in different cities? You're not, you know, you're not Philly guy, blah, 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 blah. But I think other owners look at that and are sort of envious in that he is able to build a sports empire by having more than one team. You know,
yeah.
He has a European soccer team. He's got these three teams. David Blitzer actually owns part of the Guardians as well. So this is a real thing, could really happen. I don't know if it will happen, but it definitely could happen. And I'm interested to see what the reaction would be if Jeffrey Lurie owns the Celtics.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any reaction. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, he owns the Eagles. He's an Eagles owner that's looking to, I guess, purchase another team. I know Sixers, Celtics, sort of back and forth. I guess if the Sixers were a team that was competing for a championship against the Celtics, I think you would have a stronger reaction.
Yes.
From people.
Sort of like I didn't care when Josh Harris bought the Commanders, but now the Commanders are good and we're playing in the championship game, and I can't stand it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think it would be quiet until those sorts of things happened. And I get it from a financial perspective. I get all of those things. But it is, in a town like this, I think, and, you know, the Eagles win the Super Bowl, you know, he could buy anything and people wouldn't care. But if we are in a moment where the Sixers and the Celtics are competing for the Eastern Conference Championship or something, it'll be weird, would be weird. And the only thing I would say is that it's certainly easier to concentrate on the Eagles when the only sports team you own is the Eagles. You know, so I wonder if he owns two, if there is an elevated role for somebody like Howie. Like, I wonder.
Well, how much bigger of a role does he need?
I don't know. I wonder, maybe, does Howie get a piece of the team? Is Howie, because I do think you need more infrastructure on the Eagles. I know this is getting in the weeds, but on the Eagles side, if Lurie's attention is split between two teams rather than one.
Yeah, I don't want to minimize what he does because he is the owner, but I don't think he's doing anything day-to-day that needs to be, that affects the team.
You don't think?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he's more of a business side of things, so getting deals done and all that type of stuff. I think he allows Don Smolinski to handle a lot. He certainly handles a lot. And then Howie basically runs the football team.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't lose Howie, by the way, if that happens. Because we've talked a couple of times. It's like, is there a next step for Howie? And he's said over the last few years, well, I won't be here forever, blah, 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 blah. You can't lose Howie in that situation.
No.
I would tell you that. That he becomes even more important.
Yeah, did you ever think you would say that?
No.
It's remarkable.
Yeah. It really is remarkable.
Yeah.
It really is incredible.
Well, again, not to minimize Howie, it's not evaluating talent. That's not his strength. He's listening to people who know what talent looks like.
Yeah, but there has to be the person who does that and the person who hires those people.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that's, you know.
I'm just saying, as you put a football team.
He's not the one grinding.
It's not like the old GMs of Ernie Accorsi and all these guys that were football guys. They were sitting there looking at film.
Yes.
Like, the biggest thing Howie does is knows how to keep his talent.
By the way.
That part is important.
I think if you were to ask Howie, he might have a different.
About evaluating talent?
Yes.
Well, if he's being honest with himself, I mean, you hired him, right? You listen to your scouts.
Yeah.
That's where they got in trouble, is when they weren't listening
to
the football people, right? That's how you end up with Arthego Whiteside and some of the players that we ended up with.
215-592-9494. Richard in Philly, you're on WIP. What's up, Richard?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How's everything?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Really, well, the Eagles are going to Super Bowl, so we're pretty good.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. It's a two-part question for you, but I'm going to make it a little tougher for you. Who is your MVP, or who would you get a game ball to? But I'm going to make it tougher in this sense. You know, because it could be me. I wore my gangrene defense sweater for the last few games. Some of y'all probably don't even remember that, and I think that helped. But would it be Saquon? Would you get him the game ball? Jalen, Carter, Shipley, Vaughn, Sirianni? Even a Hard Rock Cafe for keeping them Washington Commanders fans away from us. I might even get him a game ball. It could be Jervis Delane. Even the skinny Beast would have played center. Devontae Smith would have played center if asked, because somebody is building a good team where people take care of each other. Would it be Howie, Jeffrey? And no matter who you decide, maybe we just need to call Oprah so that you can get a ball, I can get a ball, anybody can get a ball. Who would you consider the game ball winner after hearing all that?
Well, yesterday, it's hard to find one person to give a game ball
to.
Yeah,
Jack's going to have to give out.
Yesterday, pretty much everybody.
I'll be honest with you. I think it was Jalen. For me.
As the top person yesterday?
Yeah. I think, to your point, there are a lot of players who had a big part in yesterday's game. A lot of players who had a big part in yesterday's game. If Landon Dickerson doesn't tough it out, if Cam Jurgens doesn't tough it out, if Saquon doesn't do what he does. But I think the difference.
Defense created what, four turnovers?
Three.
Defense created three turnovers. But I think if I look at why that game was a blowout, the difference between that game being a blowout and a one-score game in the fourth quarter is Jalen playing the way that he did. You know, if Jalen doesn't throw that pass on fourth and five, if Jalen doesn't play the way that he does, I think that game is a normal Eagles game where we're sweating it out in the fourth quarter. And because he had the game that he had, I thought that made a huge difference. I thought it was a blowout because of the way Jalen played.
I hear you. You know, I also want one too. But you know, I was in Royal Buffet eating. I had a hard time because it was my godson's birthday. I wanted to go to the game, but I'm like, family Eagles. It was a struggle. And I thought they had TVs in it. It's the first time I watched an entire game from my cell phone, and everybody in there was looking at me because I'm yelling, E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! You know, so I think even I can get one. I'm just saying, maybe Oprah should give everybody one, even the fans, because I think everybody played a role, but you're right. You know, we know Saquon and Jalen, they always get it. So let me ask you this. Who do you think, other than Saquon and Jalen, needs to be impactful for potentially a game ball in 2 weeks?
Wow,
thank you for the call, Richard.
I tell you, Kansas City, they're not an explosive team, right? Them and the Eagles, I think, have the most possessions, 10-plus play possessions in the league. I think Kansas City is number one. So most of their possessions are time-consuming, just matriculate the ball down the field.
I think the Commanders were up there, too, by
Commanders
the way.
Up there, and they go for it a lot on fourth down, so they rarely punt, so... Yeah, I look at that Chiefs team, and you're like, yeah, how are they doing it? Travis Kelce is not even an explosive player.
No.
Like, I mean, Juju Schuster-Smith isn't going to run past anybody, and neither is D Hop.
No. Worthy, they've been using more.
Worthy, yeah, they've been trying. Yeah, Worthy is the one explosive player they do have.
He's barely a receiver. He's almost like
a gadget player, yeah.
He's like Percy Harvin.
Yeah. Yep.
Ike, why don't you tell everybody about Elite Acura, and then I will tell you what I'm most scared of about because it's not a player about the Chiefs. Go ahead.
All right. Experience luxury reimagined with the all-new Acura ADX at Elite Acura. Now, this just isn't any old SUV. It's a bold step into the future of premium performance. The ADX combines striking design with cutting-edge technology, featuring a responsive dual-motor all-wheel drive system, the most advanced AccuWatch safety safety features ever developed and a digital cockpit that puts everything at your fingertips. Visit Elite Acura this February to be among the very first to test drive the revolutionary ADX. With exceptional inventory available, you can choose the perfect ADX to match your style. And right now, you can get 0% APR financing for up to 72 months on the all-new 2024 Acura ZDX. The future of luxury performance is here, and it's at Elite Acura. Make sure you visit them today, located off Route 73 North in Maple Shade, or schedule your VIP test drive at EliteAcura.com. It's like I always tell you, no one can compete with Elite. Tell them Mike sent you. Limited time offer. See dealer for details. Vehicle features and availability may vary.
The thing that scares me about the – I would say the two things that worry me the most about the Chiefs is, one, Spags. Will – you know, we had – you said we're not turning the ball over. Mm-hmm. And I just – even that blitz at the end of the game yesterday to blow up that final play for Buffalo.
That's the one thing
he's going
to do. He's going to blitz. He's going to blitz. He learned that from Jim Johnson.
And the other thing is I picked Buffalo. And then 5 minutes into that game, I said to myself, oh, I know what's going to happen in this game. Whatever Buffalo scores, the Chiefs will score just enough more to win the game. Mm-hmm. And there is it is whatever they are. It's not a talent thing. It's that they have almost figured out what they need to do to win the game, and they find a way to do it every time. And in a one-score game in the fourth quarter where the Eagles usually come away with those wins, I don't want to – being in that situation with the Kansas City Chiefs feels like you're praying for a miracle. Like you're praying for a fumble out of nowhere or something like that. Those are the two things that worry me the most.
That's kind of why I don't want to play – or I didn't want to play Kansas City, right? Because you're fighting against so much to have to beat Kansas City. We haven't even brought up the officials. That'll be coming up at some point before we get to the Super Bowl. Everybody believes the officials are cheating for them. Well, if that's the case, then that's something else we have to overcome.
Yes.
Right? Bad calls, timely calls, missed calls, right? So, well, I mean, this is who we got to dance with. This is who is there. And so we're in order for us to win our second ever Super Bowl. This is what it has to be. And you're right. You said something that I thought about that. Yeah, I guess that would be pretty cool to, you know, your two Super Bowl wins to come against the great Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and then the great Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes.
Maybe the two
those
best,
are nice feathers in your cap to have.
Maybe the two best coaches of all time, the two best quarterbacks of all time.
When the Giants look at that doofus that won two Super Bowls for them, they get a chance to say he beat Tom Brady twice.
Yes, and they say it a lot.
All the time.
They say it a lot. Yes. Yeah. They're still saying it. We're talking about Saquon Barkley, and they're just pointing to those Super Bowls.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Jasmine in Georgia. You're on WIP. What's up, Jazz?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, Jazz. What's happening?
Hey, so I have a lot to say.
Okay.
The boys were in their bag yesterday. They were cooking, eating, leaving no scraps on the table. Everybody was putting in the work. You got Jalen being decisive, quicker in the pocket, Saquon being the beast that he is. Shout out to the Giants for giving us the gift that keeps on giving. A.J. Smitty, Dallas, like the entire team, Dickerson Juergens, like playing through the pain, working together, Carter channeling his inner Rocky with the right hook, you know, everybody was just firing on all cylinders. But I do want to say, even though the momentum kind of went down a bit after that fake punt from the Commies, they kept their head in the game, even with all that tomfoolery with Louisville and Lattimore. They weren't distracted. Yep. So, I mean, they've come a long way since the bye week. This is the standard. Yesterday was a standard. Remember in the beginning of the season, talking about the standard? We were tired of hearing about it. This is the standard. So they just need to stick with it. Like, I love the brotherhood of this team, the fan base. Eagles are everywhere. So we just got to go ahead, win this thing. America is counting on us to get, like, to prevent this three-peat. So it's hunting season. Let's hunt. And one more thing. E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles! Let's get it, guys.
There you go.
Do you think America's rooting for the Eagles?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I said, my wife does not like football. And she doesn't even like the Eagles. She doesn't like any of it. And yesterday, I was watching that second game. And I was like, well, it's going to be the Chiefs. And she goes, I hate the Chiefs. And for somebody who doesn't even like football to know that they hate the Chiefs.
Well, she probably hates the Taylor Swift stuff.
Maybe, but she's like 40. It's not even like she's, you know what I mean? It's not even like, but I think maybe it opened that
I think
up
that's
to
why
it.
Some people are tired of the Chiefs.
Yes. Yeah. It's
a little
been,
overexposure.
Yeah, it's just been too much, I think. And I don't think anyone, I don't think nationally people like Philadelphia or the Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles, but I think when they're presented with this choice between Kansas City and Philadelphia, I think the story of Philadelphia is something they'll root for more than the story of Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, there'll be some Chiefs fans out there that obviously want to see them three-peat and make history. But I think you look at casual fans or fans of other fan bases, with the exception of the Cowboys, I'm sure they don't want us to win anything. The Giants fans may not want us to win anything. I would imagine the other teams around the league and their fan bases, like I said, they're probably tired of Kansas City winning. Like, if we weren't in the Super Bowl, would we be rooting for Kansas City to win?
I probably would be.
Well, you definitely would be.
Well, I want to see a three-peat.
Well, I would, too.
I think that's, who am I talking
listen,
to?
I mean, yeah, Mr. Andy Reid over here.
He's dead to me. He's no longer an Eagle, great Eagles coach.
Get him out of here.
Sirianni's one win away from taking over the Andy Reid place as the best coach in Eagles history.
And removing Doug, huh?
Yeah,
you already forgot about Dougie P.
Two Super Bowl appearances.
And win one?
And yeah. The funniest part about the Doug thing, I just thought about this. He actually was kind of right about the new norm.
Except he didn't
get to be a part of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Missed three Super Bowls
right.
in 7 years.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, and the thing with Andy is that we pretty much recognize that he is the best coach in Eagles history. Now, how many NFL teams have their best coach in their history not be the one that won the Super Bowl?
Right.
So obviously Andy is above Doug, even though Doug has a special place in our heart.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have another coach who went to two Super Bowls and won one, it's hard to keep Andy in that spot, you know?
Unless that coach is gone in 2 years.
Even if he is.
See, what hurts Doug is that he didn't have a long enough tenure.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying about Nick.
What I'm saying. If Nick is gone, I was being facetious when I said it.
Got it.
To the point, Doug was gone 2 years after he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So
which
Nick,
stopped him from.
Yes. So if Nick can win this and – I do believe – listen, I think people are ready to move on from Coach Reid. I think people appreciate what Coach did while he was here. But he didn't win it, and he's having such a long story career in Kansas City that we're almost being erased from his coaching resume. Like, it'll be there, but it's almost forgotten
because
it's been so long that he's been out there in Kansas City. And that's another reason why I want to see Nick around here for a while. I think Nick is the type of coach that could be here a decade.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
He wins the Super Bowl here, you know. And remember, Doug could have stayed.
Yeah.
But Doug wanted to pick his own coordinators,
yep.
And they told him no, and then he decided to leave. So,
yep.
All right, 215-592-9494. By the way, Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination online at marks-jewelers.com. Are you glad the Eagles are facing the Chiefs again in the Super Bowl, or do you wish it was the Bills? 61.5% say they are glad it was the Chiefs. Joining us next, the great Donovan McNabb. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.